Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't think it really matters what time in human history or what part of the world or what language spoken. Human beings seem to figure out ways to evaluate one another, to compare ourselves and figure out who's a little higher or a little lower than each other, who's a little or a lot better or worse, who's closer to the ideal and who's far from it. Over the course of the last couple decades, the internet and social media has really elevated a certain element of this kind of evaluation of ourselves and one another. In an era where our connections and our relationships are more observable than ever because of things like our social media friends lists or our followers, we can see the power of our associations, literally who we associate with. We can see it on our screens, on our profiles. Oh, you like them? Oh, you follow them too? I didn't know you were friends with so-and-so. Our associations are front and center in this new world. This is both in relation to quantity and quality. How many friends and followers do you have, right? You can quantify it. And who or which friends and followers do you have? Even if many of you don't have a Facebook or Instagram account, there are more practical social media networks like LinkedIn that puts you out before the world, who puts out before the world who you are associated with in order to possibly gain advantages in finding a job. It's very practical too. How those questions are answered, who are your friends and followers, and how many friends and followers? It says something to at least a certain generation of people about how someone is to be evaluated. We evaluate each other by our associations. Now, our institutions get brought into all this too. Take, for example, when Franklin Graham, the head of Samaritan's Purse, who does the Christmas shoeboxes, right? He came out with support for a certain Republican presidential candidate in the USA who happened to become the most recent president. While some evangelical churches were proud of that association with Franklin Graham, right? If they did Samaritan shoeboxes, that means they were associated with Franklin Graham, who is associated with Trump. So there were some evangelical churches who questioned if they should do the shoeboxes anymore. Many stopped because of the association of Franklin Graham, who supported Trump. Right, so that's an example of how those associations play out. And to bring it really close to home, there might be some of you who are really not advertising how you are a Mennonite in Alberta these days. Perhaps you questioned the association of that name before anyways, but now the name Mennonite might be associated with those who have played a part in the measles outbreak in Alberta and Canada. Don't tell them you're Mennonite. You might be associated with that measles outbreak. Perhaps just being a Christian is an association that you struggle with, just that. I bring all of this forward not to dictate who or how we as an institution or you as individuals should associate, but to simply lay bare how we desire to be seen and evaluated by others by curating our associations. Gotta formally cut ties with that person so people don't see I'm associated with them. By showing how we are associated with these certain people and institutions and are not associated with these certain people and institutions. And I said, none of this is new, okay? It takes on a new form in social media and internet these days, but through human history, these associations were always curated through kinship networks or through systems of religious piety or through cultures defined by honor and shame. And this is at least part of what Jesus is unmasking in our passage from Luke today. Jesus indeed does offer direction about the kinds of associations his followers should be making, the kinds of people his disciples should be seen with. In Jesus' time and culture, so much of that associating with the right kinds of people and disassociating with the right kinds of people all took place around tables. It all happened around the meal table. The meal table was the place where the whole game of evaluation and comparison was seen most visibly in that system of cultural honor and disgrace. It may seem bizarre to us to imagine people making such a big fuss about where they sit around a table, but the idea of some seats at a table being better than others has mostly faded from our society these days. And likewise, the kind of culture of reciprocity doesn't have the stronghold it did in our time. At that time, meal invitations were carefully chosen to align you with people of greater honor. And accepted meal invitations were always to be reciprocated. If I accept your meal invitation, I would then offer you an invitation to my house for a meal. An invitation was always to be met with another invitation in return. And so you might see how in an honor society, this could become a game, could become a game to try to work yourself up the ladder of honor in your community. Okay, if I send a meal invitation to them, that means they'll send one back, and they're just a little bit higher. That means I could get a little, it all becomes a game. To be strategic in this way would mean to never offer invitations to those of lower status, the poor, the sick, the disreputable, because that doesn't help me. It doesn't help me in my status. I want to carefully curate who I invite for a meal so that I might get really good invitations in return and get an honor boost through my associations. To that whole system, Jesus tells his followers to sit in the lowest seats and to invite over the poor, the crippled, and the lame for meals so that you don't get a repayment. Now, there is an unfortunate way that this passage has been put into practice over a couple thousand years, even by Christians today. It is that the whole strategy just becomes reversed. It's a whole other game to play. There might be Christians or other do-gooders who might publicize how charitable and heroic they are by associating very visibly in the lowest seats and associating with poor people. I remember hearing a popular pastor many years ago preach from a passage like this one today and talk about how he decided to invite some homeless people to eat with his family and that everyone else should do the same. And it just kind of bit at me a little bit. I couldn't help but think that as soon as he started preaching and publicizing what he had done, he turned humility into another kind of honor system. Look how humble I am. Look what I have done. You should do the same. I am now the ideal. It's like he undid any kind of Christ-likeness in this act by showing it off. Perhaps the teaching needs to be accompanied with the teaching from Matthew 6, verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Jesus isn't trying to make a whole new game of who is the most holy and honorable, just in an opposite way. The point is not to seek out ways to be seen as awesome or better or more Christian or more humble or the most charitable. Any culture that tries to do that is only replicating the problem. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they might invite you in return and you'd be repaid. But when you have a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. It is a hard teaching. That's a hard teaching. But at least part of the point is to not curate your associations for your benefit. Don't turn your relationships into a way to personally gain from them, socially, financially, however you might benefit from being seen with them. Don't try to live some kind of enviable life that will make other people ooh and ah at you. And isn't that at the heart of so much of our social media age these days, living an enviable life? Don't try to show off your relationship or association with a certain person in order to be accepted into a specific group. Oh, if I post a picture with them, then those other people will see and they'll really like that. Yeah. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus' disciples are to be those who overturn those systems or ignore them entirely. They don't play a game the way everyone else plays the game. They choose the place of dishonor with no benefit to themselves. That's the biggest point. They choose the people of disrepute. With no gain. They pay attention to the power dynamics. Jesus' disciples do pay attention to the power dynamics, but not in order to ascend them, but to descend them, to be a servant, to wash people's feet. In following Jesus, the table is no longer a place of curating our associations. Disciples of Jesus desire to break bread and share meals with any and all people because they try to see them for who they are. Beloved children of God, not for how they might be advantageous or disadvantageous to be around. After all, Jesus' ministry was defined by eating with who? With sinners, with tax collectors and prostitutes, along with those pious Pharisees. He ate with them too. Because of Jesus, the table is to be the sacred place where the new real relationships are built or restored or healed, perhaps with people we would have never chosen to be with in any other context. And in his resurrection, it was around the table, in the breaking of bread, that he was recognized and seen. So we are all invited to his table of communion today, to step into that ministry of true presence and relationship. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.